The 42nd year of the reign of Octavian Augustus, while the whole world enjoyed a span of peace, Jesus Christ, eternal and only begotten Son of God, desired to sanctify the world by his most merciful coming, being conceived by the Holy Spirit and 9 months of growth in the womb of his mother Mary. Now, in our times, is the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh.
Thank you. grace of the Christ child, the refining fire of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. This we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The second reading is from Titus, the 2nd chapter. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Many of you cherish and love that gospel reading that we read just a moment ago. It's one of those few pieces of the Bible that's not just known and beloved in our churches, but also known and beloved by a tremendous number of people who have only cultural understandings of who Jesus is. They might not understand much of what we mean by new life in Christ, forgiveness of sin, new creation, but they know this story. And I think they, along with us, love the aesthetic of this story, find it fascinating and beautiful. This is how Jesus was born, in unimaginable and surprising ways. We look back and think, isn't it amazing? And we wonder in awe at such a miracle that happened so very long ago. But I wonder if we ask, where are we in this text? Is this just a story from the long past? Is the gospel just telling us some interesting points about Jesus' birth? And of course it does tell us the story of Jesus' birth, but maybe the point for us is a little closer to home. I believe this text is not only informational, telling us what happened, but invitational, asking us into this story itself. Saying that there is good news for you here. To explore that in my reflection this evening, I'd like to focus on just one verse from this reading that says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." It's what the angel says to the shepherds.
And there's a lot of different ways to think about this verse this evening, and many different interpretations, but tonight I want to focus on just one. The angel has appeared and told the shepherds that the long-awaited Messiah is here. It's the Savior, and they surely felt in need of saving. The world they lived in was one of pain and suffering. They resided in an occupied nation. The economic realities of the Roman Empire, especially in the provinces, make it probable that up to 90% of the people were either actually or practically enslaved. It was a hard life. And these shepherds, even more so, our text today says they lived in the fields. I don't think that was an exaggeration. These are people without homes. So when the angel says that the Savior has come, they surely would have understood that they needed the saving. They needed some help. And what's the sign that this Savior is finally here? Someone who could actually help you. What's that thing to latch onto so we can know that a Savior has been born? Help is on its way. And it says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. There's nothing saying that the manger is special, the barn in which it's set is special. The baby looks anything different from other babies. And I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about a sign from God, I tend to think of something a little bit more. I tend to think of signs as big, powerful things that clearly show this is God who is acting. But a baby lying in a manger. Sure, it's unexpected, but normally I wouldn't call it much of a sign. In fact, the sign in the story, and it's certainly there, would seem to fit better with the angels appearing at all. The fact that this angel shows up, a whole company of heavenly hosts terrifying these shepherds, that seems like a far more convincing sign. But the Gospel of Luke has for us today, this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. How is that the sign? Again, unexpected, but not something unthinkable. For a baby to be in a manger just takes someone to place a baby in a manger. But what if we look at the sign less on the second half, on that content, there will be a baby in a manger, and more on the first half. You will find a child in a manger. You actually will find it. Find a baby in a random barn somewhere in the town of Bethlehem, an agrarian town. How many barns are there? How many mangers? And in fact, it wasn't just what we would usually consider barns, but almost every house had at least a small area for one or two animals. So basically, every home. And finding a baby in one of them was not something one could really do at 100 yards. You'd have to go from house to house, barn to barn, trying to see if there was a baby inside. And even, frankly, if you had the time, you know, these belonged to people. They may not have been incredibly thrilled of these shepherds who live outside to come rummaging through their barn. And if finally confronted, I'm not sure the argument, oh, don't worry, I wasn't trying to steal anything. I was checking to see if there was a baby. I don't know if that would have won them over. But they actually do it. They find the child. What seems a nearly impossible task is accomplished. So the sign that this is the Savior is a sign the shepherds themselves participate in. It's not just sit and watch God's action, but be enlivened. You have a part to play. God is at work, but not so you can watch on the sidelines, but you can be actively involved. These shepherds are asked to do what's nigh unto impossible, and they pull it off. A few verses earlier explains how. When the angel first arrives, it says, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Glory is that which emanates from the very presence of God. It's usually depicted as light, that which shines from a source. It's not the source, but it shines from it. It's what exudes from God's presence upon them. Later in the story, it says that the angel departs, but it never says the glory of the Lord departed from them. The presence of God departed from them. The glory of the Lord is upon them. They're able to act in this world and be part of this sign. You will find a child lying in a manger. They're able to because God is among them and with them. They accomplish what they might not have thought possible because it's God who's acting through them. In Lutheran theology, we use the phrase, God works through means. The means of grace in this world come through a variety of places, but one of them is through people. How we express God's grace to one another. This isn't a passive sit and watch God work in the world. Look back at that historical story from 2,000 years ago, but it's instead a charge to all of us. How is God acting through us right now? Our theme this fall at Central Lutheran has been re-engage. Coming out of the pandemic, being more and more comfortable being around others, how can we engage together in community? What that looks like. Some of it, of course, looked very similar to what always was done. Some things, at least here at Central, never shut down. They just continued. Other things have changed, but are still happening. And some things we're doing now and engaging in new ways we could not have dreamed of before the pandemic. All of the various ways we engage one another in community is engaging in Christ. It's being the means of grace to one another. We can do that the same way the shepherds did. For the shepherds, it says the glory of God surrounded them, and then it didn't leave. How was God remaining present among them, even when the angels were not? Because the world changed. It's what we call the incarnation, God becoming human. And when we talk about Jesus' incarnation and see God become human, I think sometimes we think that means, of course, God became one human, that baby in the manger. And while it's true God became that human, God also became all of humanity. The divine is present in every one of you, humans. And so the glory of God is around and among these shepherds? Well, yes. That's that which emanates from the presence of God is Christ's incarnation. In the way God became human. For us, in our context, we call it being Christ to one another. Christ is active in us and with us right now. Right here where we are. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. For the shepherds, the incarnation was hours old. For us, it's over 2,000 years. But for all of us, it's God who is in us, among us, and with us. It's God who is empowering us to act in our world. The shepherds find the baby. That's how God acted in that community. We're in a new community. God will act in us every day of our lives. But in what way? How is the incarnation made alive in us this Christmas? Sometimes it looks like charges to go out there and do something like those shepherds did, to show grace to others through action. Sometimes it might look more like having the grace to be cared for and visited by others. But in every setting in our life, we are able to express who God is to someone else. This will be a sign for you. Christ is alive in you. You are Christ to one another, and another is Christ to you. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.
wonder and thanksgiving for Christ coming into the world, let us pray for the church, for all of creation, and the whole human family. Please be seated. Your infinite love is born to us this night. With choirs of angels, the church proclaims the good news. Send us out as messengers of the hope that has come to all people. God of grace, hear our prayer.
You are pleased to dwell with your creatures, and the whole earth sings for joy. Renew the splendor of creation from the smallest cell to the widest galaxies. Guide us to be wise stewards of your gifts for the sake of generations to come. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Your authority is over the nations. Break the rod of oppression in every land and free all people from fear. Bring peace where there is war, compassion where there is suffering, and healing where there is disease. God of grace, hear our prayer.
You cherish those who are most vulnerable. Protect infants and children, and bless them who care for them. Watch over women giving birth, attend the dying, and relieve any who are in pain. Shelter refugee families and those who have no home. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Your loving kindness embraces everyone in need. Help any for whom the season is lonely or joyless. Comfort those among us or known to us who are experiencing distress of body, mind, or spirit. God of grace, hear our prayer.
You welcome those who have died into the joyous light of glory. We give thanks for the saints of every time and place who have praised you with lives of faith and humility. Inspire us by their example to love you by serving others. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Pondering the mystery of eternal love made flesh in Jesus Christ, we commend all for whom we pray to the mercy of your Spirit. All this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. With gratitude for the gifts God has given us, we now receive the Christmas offering.
Invite all who are able to stand. Let us pray. God with us, you came as a baby in a manger. You slept on straw and greeted shepherds. You come again in bread and wine. Remind us how good you are at blessing ordinary things. And then through these gifts, help us to bless the lives of others in the strength of your holy name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, in the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to the God, to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, born of Mary, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, for the precious gift of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and at this time, as the Spirit moves you, you'll be invited to come forward, and we'll have two stations up front for you to come and receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct it or dip it into the cup that has red wine or white grape juice. There are gluten-free wafers available. Should you need those, please let your server know. And we'll invite you to come down the center aisle and return by the side aisles. Come, for all is now ready. please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. On this holy night, O God, you gave us the gift of the Christ child. As you sent the one foretold, send us now with good news for all people. Let the gladness of this feast have no end as we share with others the joy that fills us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now receive the benediction. May Christ, who by his incarnation has filled us with grace and truth, give you peace this Christmas and always. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas.